Welcome, everybody, to Living the Good Life from Clearwater, Florida. I am Pastor Marcia McAllister here in the radio station live again today, as we always are, from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are glad you have joined us. This is July 4th, 2010. It's an exciting day, day of freedom, and we're glad to be free in this country, are we not? It's just a joy to be able to be on the radio with you live every week. I just met a gentleman that was in the show before us that's been on 25 years on this station, Bill. Isn't that cool? That's a long time. And here I thought our 3 years was a big accomplishment. But, I mean, compared to 25, I guess it's nothing. But I guess it's the effort that counts, and that is really cool. So we are excited about what God is doing through the ministry at Beacon of Hope. It's a great time, and it's exciting time. We have moved into a new facility. We'll tell you more about that a little later on. We want to celebrate July 4th, Freedom Day. We are free, free, free indeed. In fact, that's what the Word says, that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. And it was our ancestors, our forefathers, 200 or 300 years ago that, what is it now? It's over 200 years. So something like 225 years ago that came to this land and for religious freedom. That's why they came. They came because they were looking for a place where they could serve God and they could worship God in the way they wanted to without having all the constraints on them from the land of England where they had come from. So it's really incredible that the roots of this country, it's wonderful that the roots of this country are based in religious freedom, and that's why our ancestors came here. And so many of us are made up of so many different nationalities. I always find that interesting. I have people in my life, clients, because I do real estate also, that say, you know, like, what's your heritage? You look a little this or you look a little that, you know how, and we're a nation where we're just kind of all mixed up, aren't we? I've got a lot of stuff in my past, German and Irish and Cherokee Indian and English and all kinds of things. And I think a lot of people have a lot of that. And it's cool to be in a nation where there's such diversity. We at Beacon of Hope are a diverse ministry. We have a lot of interesting different people in our ministry, and it's exciting to be able to minister to people at the level where they are. And we were just thrilled to be able to be a ministry where we all people are accepted, loved, and that's what it's all about. So we welcome you to stay tuned today to this station as we go through the next couple hours of our show. We used to be on at 90 minutes, and we've upped that in the last 2 or 3 months to a two-hour show. And we enjoy this time with you. And on some of our shows, we give you the opportunity to email in and or you can call in. But today I've got a special guest and calling in later on, and we'll just see how the time works out and let the Holy Spirit lead this show. And that's what we always are doing. Just allow God to do what he wants to do in these next several minutes that we're together. You have plenty of time to call a friend, a relative, and tell them about Living the Good Life. That's the name of our show here on WTAN 1340 and AM. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, you can also catch the show live right now on the internet, which is great, and it's great reception, and it's fantastic way to listen, and that is www.tantalk1340.com. And it's a great way to access the show, especially if you're not in the Tampa Bay area. You're around the globe in different places. And that's one thing that our ministry is so excited about. We are able to reach people in a lot of other states and countries. And, you know, it's just, yeah, the Arkansas market, the Mississippi market, those were just added to this station as a part of this group. a couple months back and a few months back. And so we welcome that whole market area because you actually hear us on the radio, not on the internet. You can hear us live on the radio where you are in Arkansas, Mississippi. So we welcome each of you and we're glad you've joined us today. Let's start with prayer and we're going to talk here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be on the air on this July 4th, this day of freedom that we celebrate in this nation. And Lord, we just thank you that we do have religious freedom, that we are able to bow our heads in prayer, that we are able to hold services, that we are able to minister to people and preach the gospel and teach the word of God. We're able to do all that because of the people who came before us and fought for that religious freedom. So God, today we celebrate your freedom, the freedom that you have given us, not only in this country, but the freedom that you give us when we allow you to do the work in our lives that needs to be done. So it's a day of freedom. We're going to celebrate that today. And we thank you so much for this time together with our listening audience. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God's been doing so many things. I can't even begin to tell you all the answers to prayer, but I will tell you I'll tell you a few. We had a very bad report a couple weeks ago. One of our people, their best friend, was given a diagnosis that seemed like cancer was very, very prevalent in her body. We have the news this week that it is not going to be cancer at all. They're going to be able to treat it with surgery, endometriosis. And so thank God for that healing. My own sister was rushed to the emergency room this past week. She listens to the radio show a lot. Very, very ill. There was a lot of things they thought were wrong. It has turned out that she is doing great now, and the awful things that it could have been, it was not. And so, Karen, my sister, is the healed one, and we praise God for that. There have been so many answers to prayer in the last few days. God is on the throne. God is answering prayer. Whatever your needs are today, trust God because he will meet your need. If you need healing in your body, God wants to heal it. If you need peace in your soul, he wants to bring peace to you. If you need answers, wisdom, God is there and wants to do it. Listen to this first song. Get us started off kind of wild here. Look what the Lord has done.
Look what the Lord has done. Look what my mind. He set me just in time, for I'm gonna praise his name.
I'm gonna praise his name.
He said just the same.
Come on, praise him.
Come on and praise him.
Look what the Lord has done. Clap your hands and sing.
Look what the Lord has done. Look what
touched my mind. Saved me just in time. I'm going to praise his name. Hallelujah. That's an example of a song we do at Beacon of Hope and our worship. That's a wild song and we love it. We get those tambourines going and it's a fun song to sing. But the message is so true. Look what the Lord has done. And wherever you are right now, if you have a praise report, you can send those to us today or a prayer request. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. We want to hear from you. We'd love to get your praise report out there. And so God has done mighty things. We're looking at the life of Paul today in the book of Acts. And we see throughout the book of Acts that Paul was a guy that God used mightily. Paul was a man that said, okay, God, I want to be who you want me to be. And Paul was one of those that kept saying, look what God has done. You know, God did this, God did that. Paul was great about giving God the glory and the praise. Continually, Paul was saying, we got to give thanksgiving. We got to give praise. We got to give credit where credit is due, because God's the one that's answering these prayers. Paul was a mighty man of God. Some of you out there already know that Paul wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. The New Testament was basically authored by Paul. Paul was originally Saul. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader of the Jewish people. He was a religious guy. And he had all the right answers, you know, religiously. But Paul was not on fire for God. He was on fire for religion. He was on fire for the law, you know, doing things by the law, by the book. Paul was, at that point in his life, he was called Saul. Saul was what we would call today a religious zealot, if you know that term. And that just means somebody that's like really, you know, got hammering people, you know, with the word of God. There are a lot of people out there. I like to call them religious crazy people, huh? Or religious nutcakes sometimes, because there are some people that are so religious. I have heard the phrase that they're so spiritual that they're no earthly good. I don't know if you ever heard that. But sometimes there are people out there that are religious and they want to pound you in the ground with the legalities of the scripture. Now, what's wrong with that is that Jesus came to this earth and he said he came to fulfill the law, which he did, and to show us a new way of life. And that new way of life is God's grace and his love for us. It's all about God's grace and it's all about God's love. That's what it is. If you have your Bibles, let's go for a minute to the book of Galatians and let's go there. And this is actually, again, written by Paul. And I want to look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. This is not where I was going to go. I'm going to tell you right now that God just told me to do this. So we're going to change it up a little bit, but still it goes along with what we're teaching today. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Here's what Paul says to the Galatian church. He says, answer this question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourself, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving? In other words, Paul is saying to the Galatians, wait a minute, this God we serve, and we serve him and we realize that his presence, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. And it says, does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, the God who says, here, take my presence, and he allows the Holy Spirit, the very essence of God, to live in you and work in you. He said, does this God, the one who works things in you that you could never do for yourselves? Okay, we see this every day. People get answers to prayer. People get major things happening in their lives that they could never arrange for themselves, that they could not get done on their own effort. He said, does this God do all these things because of your strenuous moral striving? In other words, because you are religious enough, because you are good enough, because you are paying attention to all the religious rituals of the Old Testament, is that why God moves in your life? Or, there's the word or, I'm in Galatians 3, 5, and 6, or is it because, do you get these answers because you trust him to do them in you? That's the answer. Paul was giving us the answer right there. Don't these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God, and that act of belief was turned into a life that was right with God. And so Paul is saying here, it's not about the legalities. It's not about you keeping every little portion of the law of Moses. Instead, it is all about you trusting God for the situations in your life. Let's look at verse 7 of Galatians chapter 3. Paul says, is it not obvious to you that persons who put their trust in Christ, not persons who put their trust in the law, are like Abraham, children of faith? You see, Abraham was known because of, he was famous for and still is famous for his faith. God says that Abraham was made righteous because of his level of faith, because he was trusting God. And so I'm in Galatians 3:7. We are children of Abraham because we walk in faith. It was all laid out beforehand in Scripture that God would set things right with non-Jews. That's most of us listening to this broadcast. Most of us are non-Jews. We're Gentiles is another word they call us in the Word. And God would set things right with us by faith. How did you get saved, by the way, dear friend? You got saved because you chose to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, that he rose out of that tomb, a risen Lord, resurrected from the death of the tomb, and now is a risen Lord. Because you believe all that, you do that by faith, okay? Now, how are we supposed to live our lives on a daily basis? That's what we're going to talk about today on the show. Because our forefathers came to this land to find a place where we could worship God in freedom. It was not a one-time event. They didn't come here so that one time we could worship God, okay, in freedom. They came to establish a country where religious freedom was the name of the game. That's how we live, and that is the United States of America. And God did not save you for a one-time situation where you now know that he's your Savior and that's all there is to it. There is so much more to your relationship with God than just your salvation. Salvation is the key. It is the door that opens up to you all the blessings of God. It is essential if you're going to heaven. Salvation is what Jesus provided on the cross for you. But as soon as you've got that section of your faith nailed down and you know that you're saved, that you belong to God, that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus, then you have a whole life ahead of you to live. Okay? It's like our forefathers. Once they came to this land and they said, this is what it's all about, religious freedom, then they had a life to live with religious freedom being a huge part of that life. It was not just a one-time declaration of independence. It was taking what is written on the Declaration of Independence and moving it forward. Now, 220, 30 years forward, we are still living the things that were said in that Declaration of Independence. We still have freedom of speech, freedom of church. We have the ability to serve the God that we serve. All of that carries forward. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Galatians. Once you nail down your salvation, there is so much more. It is walking on a daily basis in faith. Faith in God's word and learning to trust God with all your heart. So it says here in Galatians 3:7-8, it's the people who put their trust in Christ, not who put their trust in the law, who are like Abraham, children of faith. And it says it was all laid out beforehand in Scripture that God would set things right for all of us, the non-Jews, the Jews, by faith. Scripture anticipated this in the promise to Abraham because God said to Abraham, all nations will be blessed in you. So now look at me with verses 9 and 10. So those now who live by faith are blessed along with Abraham, who live by faith. This is no new doctrine, and that means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. And then it goes on, the person who lives in right relationship, I'm down in verse 11, with God, does it by embracing what God arranges for him. And so it's talking about the person who believes God is set right by God. Now, when we get all this down and we begin to understand how important religious freedom is, how important it is to get this good news out there, today we are going to talk about on the air how God wants to use us to get this whole concept spread out around the globe. That God not only has a plan for us and did that plan in the sacrifice of his son Jesus on the cross. But from that day, from the moment that Jesus came out of the tomb, a risen Lord, and a few days later when Jesus got ready to go up into heaven in Acts chapter 1, Jesus stood there on the little hill before he was caught up into heaven, and he said to the disciples and everybody, wait here until you get the gift that the Father is sending you. The gift is his presence, the Holy Spirit, who's going to come into your life and change you and make you what he wants you to be and cause you to be the mighty person that God has ordained you to be. You know, it reminds me clear back, you know, of those early settlers in our country, how God put a vision in their heart to come to a new land and establish religious freedom. Now, God's got a job for you to do. He's got a ministry for you to do. He's got a vision for you to catch. And we're going to talk about that today. He has a vision for you to catch. And my guest, is she on the line yet? Not yet? All right, she will be in a minute, okay? Carol's going to be joining me from Georgia in just a moment. And we're going to talk about that vision and what that vision does to your life. Look at our forefathers. What did that vision do to them? It caused them to actually go to great lengths to get in some ships a long time ago, to undergo some tremendous weather problems. They didn't have a McDonald's on board those ships. I mean, it had to be pretty uncomfortable, all that sailing. And why did they do it? They did it for freedom. They did it for religious freedom. They did it because they wanted to find a place where they could worship God in peace and in serenity, where nobody was going to tell them that they could not worship God the way they wanted to worship God. That was a long time ago, but they are an example to us, as are our spiritual forefathers and the stories that we find in the Word of God. So it's exciting. Today we're going to talk about God using you, no matter where you are or who you are or what's going on in your life. God wants to use you. My dear friend Carol, you're up in Georgia, are you not?
I am, and it's an absolutely beautiful weekend in Georgia.
Well,
it's
that's
in the
weird.
60s to the, it was in the 60s this morning. It's up to 80 now.
Woo! All right.
So we have been blessed, let me tell you, because we've had 19 straight days of 90-plus temperatures with the heat index running to 110.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's great.
It is a blessing.
We're happy for you. We have rain in Florida is what we have. Actually, it stopped right this moment, but I was driving in it early this morning to the airport, take my grandson and all that, and it was raining really hard. In fact, they weren't even sure they were going to get the plane off on time, but they did. But the rain has just been crazy here for the last few days, but not that we don't need it for our tropical plants. I guess we do. So anyway, I'm glad you've joined us today, Carol. And I think it's interesting that God gave us this topic and that it really does flow into the whole concept of freedom for our nation, don't you?
Well, I definitely think it is. And in the celebration of our nation's history of freedom, and it's quite interesting that today the message would revolve around personal freedom and freedom
yes.
in Christ and freedom
yeah.
to serve Christ and
right.
and to be with Christ and to experience knowing him.
Exactly.
So many people in so many countries, as you well know, as being the child of a missionary,
right.
have no concept because they're not allowed to hear the word. They're not allowed to experience the word or to meet the preachers and the teachers. And yet so many of them seek to find their way home, which, of course, is their soul connecting with God's again.
Absolutely. You know, it reminds me of that little thing Connie says a lot, that within us we have a God-shaped hole, you know, that's longing for God.
That's right.
It's scriptural. It's in Romans 1 where there is a longing. It says all creation is a longing for God. And it just reminds me of those early days after Jesus went back up into heaven. And Carol, they did not have fax machines, or they did not have printed Bibles they could send around. They did not have, cell phones with texting or any of that email. They didn't have any way to get this gospel out. I find it so fascinating, like our forefathers that came to America, that these people caught the vision, Carol. They caught the message, and they had a desire. The desire propelled them. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And, you know, quite often we go through our lives, and it's an experience. Life is a journey.
Yes.
We don't know how it's going to end for us, or where it's going to end, or when it's going to end.
Right.
Ultimately, our goal, I think, as Christians, I know as Christians, is to be once again reunited with the Father God through Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So we intend to meet that goal, but so often life takes us in different directions, and we get bumfuzzled, and we get lost, and we don't know where we're going or how we're going to get back. Or maybe someone's a great achiever, and they've just achieved everything in their life on their life's bucket that they've written down.
Right.
But then there's a hole. There's that hole, and it can't be filled. It can't be filled with the desires of the flesh. It can't be filled with money. It can't be filled with
illicit
things. It is the desire to go home.
It is, isn't it?
It is. It's like a homing
pigeon. Yes.
I have Cherokee heritage, and when the first time I made the trip alone without my parents to Cherokee, North Carolina, I drove in coming close to Cherokee, and I don't have a clue what happened. I broke down totally at the wheel, and I had to pull off the road. And I just sat there for a few minutes, and I realized in front of me was a phone booth, and I'm dating myself because that was long before cell phones.
There you go.
And I got out, and I walked over to the phone, and I called my mother. Of course, I was sobbing, and she wanted to know what was wrong. I said, "Mother, I've come home."
Yeah.
"My spirit has come home."
Wow.
You know, and I felt
that
I was
connection.
A part of that culture and that
Ooh.
Nation of people.
Praise God, yeah.
And I know that when we accept Christ,
yes,
and we fall down and ask for forgiveness and ask Him to guide us and direct us, that hole just empties, and we pour out these languishing tears that
right.
say, "I've come home. I have come home."
You know, I find that is fantastic. You just gave that analogy. I'm part Cherokee too, and I was very moved the first time I went to Cherokee also. But you know, I let's take it to the spiritual realm, because I really like your example. Don't you think those early patriots of our country felt so incredibly elated to be in a land where they did not have people persecuting them for what they believed, where they could worship God in freedom? Can't you just almost sense, like you sensed when you went to Cherokee, that sense of being at home for our early patriots? Don't you think that was probably very similar to that?
I think it was very similar at that period of time, and I still believe that similarity runs through the earth today.
Right.
With all the different nationalities of people who still to this day have never heard the name.
Yes.
Who have never worshipped anything more than a wooden stick stuck in the ground or a rock that has an unusual shape. That I'm reminded of a movie called Mondo Cani. It was in the 60s.
Okay.
And it's the theme song music was "More Than the Greatest Love I've Ever Known."
Oh, wow.
But Mondo Cani was just a glimpse of the world, little vignettes of the world. And one of these native tribes somewhere in the world, the only god they had was an airplane. And
wow.
they built these monumental, skyscraping type airplanes, so that they could be closer, because they knew it was in the sky. They could see it. It dropped. It was, you know, like probably a Hope organization that dropped relief
oh,
for
okay.
them, for medications
sure.
and food and so forth. But that was their God. And they built the structures looking like the airplanes and trying to reach as high as they could.
That's interesting.
Simply to reach their God. Well, if that were the case, shouldn't we try to find our God?
Amen. Amen. And I do believe that, like with the history of our country and with so many of us, that it's so important to grow our spiritual lives. We have a need within us to get closer to God. You know, don't you think it's in people? They so often they mask it. They cover it up with life and with situations. And we can talk about some of that stuff that people covered up with, but there is a basic need within us to get close to our Creator.
We have to. We are born of the same flesh.
Right. Yeah.
We are born of the same flesh that Jesus Christ took when he came to earth.
Right. Exactly.
He walked among us.
Yes.
He was an infant. How intimidating is an infant?
Right.
I preached a sermon on this 2 years ago, Christmas service.
Yeah.
And it was Purple Rain, R-E-I-G-N. The world changed.
Yes.
When the Purple Rain took place.
Right.
And when the victory won by Jesus Christ on that cross,
right,
from the birth of him as an infant until his death, the world changed. And beyond that, it is changing every day. More and more people are seekers. We just had last week, last Saturday, as a matter of fact, in Atlanta, 63,000 Jehovah's Witnesses congregated in the city.
Wow.
Following them were somewhere around 45,000 or 50,000 Seventh-day Adventists.
Wow.
And every group that comes in leaves an indelible mark. Every group may not be seeking Christ the way that others would, but they have their followers.
Right.
And there are people, and they are from every country that you could possibly imagine. It is like walking into a beautiful quilt with the native clothing from the different countries, and all of them seeking to find.
Exactly.
The God that gives them life, the God that sustains them, the Jesus that teaches them.
Exactly. And you know, Carol, I think there's a lot of people that listen to our show and to a lot of other shows like this. They're seeking something. They're not exactly sure what, maybe an answer to some issues going on in their lives. I know that at Beacon of Hope at the end of the service so often, and as happened again today when I give an altar call and say, if you need prayer, come up. Invariably, one of the things that people say they need prayer about is wisdom in their life. They're seeking answers. They need to hear from God. You know, they need to get closer to God. And today I want to really talk about this need that people have out there. I think so often we kind of get deluded by the devil to think that perhaps people aren't interested in God at all, that there's no real craving or desire or longing for God. And I'm going to propose today on the air, Carol, that people are more hungry for God than we give them credit for, that there is more of a vacuum, more of an empty space in people than they will talk about, that it's there, and that God is looking for people who will go out and do something about that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I'm reminded in Psalms 143:10,
okay,
teach me to do your will, for you are my God.
Amen.
Let your good spirit lead me on a level path.
Amen.
And that path should take us right back to the stable and ultimately end up at the cross.
Exactly.
You know, we can fill our lives with everything of the devil's pleasure.
Yep.
Because he's quite conniving, and he makes the world seem so much more intriguing and so much more exciting and fun, because the things that we do, if we're following in that culture, the things that we do, we know in our hearts, this is not exactly what I should be doing. I shouldn't exactly go in that place and do that. I shouldn't exactly cheat my neighbor. And I'm reminded of the fact that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Exactly.
And if we do that, and if we follow the directions of Christ, we technically cannot be ugly to anybody.
You're right about that. And I think so often people just lose sight of what we're doing here on this earth. It's come to me lately, Carol, that so often we get so caught up in just the daily grind of our lives. Get up, go to work, you know, get off work, go home, you know, make supper, do some laundry. The things that people do, you know, on a daily basis, which we have to do all those things. They're part of living here on this earth. But I believe that part of the depression and despondency that we see among people is that they lack purpose, they lack vision, they lack a reason to be here. You know, it's like, okay, why am I here? Well, I guess I'm here to have kids, and then they are going to have kids, and then I'm going to have grandkids, and then they're going to have kids, and I'm going to retire from the factory. You know what I'm talking about, Carol? I've known a lot of people in my life that are like that.
This week I was sent an email by someone from out of state.
Yeah.
And the closing line of it and the whole moral of the little parable that they sent me was that God wants full-time custody, not
Woo!
Just weekend visits.
Oh, my gosh. I got to write that down. God wants full-time custody.
Not just weekend visits.
Not just weekend visits.
And I pondered that,
Woo!
And I thought, oh, my stars, there's more in that than I'm sure that most people reading it would say, oh, that's cute, and pass it on.
No.
But he wants full-time custody of us. He wants
Boy.
Us to feel his goodness, to
yes.
feel his grace, his
yes.
mercy, his love, his kindness. Accept his wisdom.
He wants
and
to,
wisdom
yes.
comes in many forms
yes.
from many different sources.
Right.
And he wants us to be able to understand the wisdom in Scripture and the wisdom in the teaching of those ordained by him to do so. And he wants us to have, you know, it's like parents, when they divorce, sometimes they don't get full custody.
Right.
They get just weekend visits. And we can, as a teacher, I can tell you, I can find those kids in my classroom in about the first 10 minutes, regardless of their grade level or age.
Right.
They're lost.
Right.
They don't know whether to run tight or run tight or stampede. They just don't have a clue what to do, because their mind, it may be Wednesday, and their mind is going, I've got to go to mom's this weekend. Oh, Jimmy, I've got to pack this, got to pack that. But when God has full-time custody, like a parent that parents that are together or
right.
at least can work together for the benefit of their children
right.
can give full-time custody.
Right.
There's a learning process. There's a loving process, a teaching process that takes place. And that child, and I purport, that lost Christian who has now tried to be found,
right,
can say, I'm safe. I'm in full-time custody of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Boy, that is
he
profound,
Carol.
He will
watch over me. He will protect me.
Yes.
He will guard me and guide me.
In other words,
as we've been told in Scripture that he will.
Well, you're saying that God wants to be involved in every area of our lives. He wants full-time custody of us. I love that. Because just like a parent, yes, if there's a divorce and there's not a good working relationship, sometimes the kids don't even talk to that other parent during the days that they're with the one parent. It is just a, you know, this life over here and this life over there.
Yeah, and they can't mention the other parent's
yeah,
name without condemnation.
Right, a lot of
and
times it's anger.
And it should not fall to the children for condemnation.
Exactly.
They didn't do anything. They didn't ask to be here. They didn't ask for the parents to break up. So when parents go at each other, and it's a matter of not accepting responsibility.
Yeah.
As people who have been ordained by Christ to show people the uneducated as far as the benefits of living in a Christly life, it falls on our shoulders to
it,
get
it does.
Out there, to teach, to show the way, to act as if we are the children of the risen Christ.
And really what you're saying, and I totally agree with what you're saying, but is that when God gets that involved in our lives, he becomes the full-time Heavenly Father instead of just a part-time on Sunday go-to-meeting. You know, that's when I dress up and go to church and remember God for an hour and then go home and forget all about him. And that's the thing. With so many people there that they're missing. That's let me rephrase that. That's the problem in so many lives spiritually. God has been relegated to a once a week, maybe if we're lucky, hour at church. And, oh, let's think about God here for a little while, hear a little sermon or a little homily, and then out the door we go, and that's the end of it. And what we are saying here today is God not only wants to be involved with you full time and have full time custody of you, but he wants to use you in the lives of others. That is the theme of this show today. And believe me, our forefathers were used mightily by God to come to a new land for religious freedom. And that's why we can be on the air right now even talking about God, Carol.
That's true. And, you know, we have liberty in Christ, and it's such a great privilege.
Right.
But also, it carries some sticky responsibilities, since our actions, our words, and our attitudes have a very profound effect on everybody around us. And we can either do good with what we have been given as attributes, or we can do a great deal of harm for ourselves and on other people. We can take our responsibility and make it an overburdening, overpowering slave situation.
Right.
And I'm so reminded of giving God more than an hour, or maybe
right.
2 hours on a week, you know, maybe
right.
on a Wednesday or Thursday, as some folk now do, and then on Sunday or Saturday if their worship time is on a Saturday. But I am so often reminded that so many people that I have known and heard say, "Oh, Jiminy Crickets, this is a holiday weekend, and I've got to go back home to the folks," and they're in Maryland or Virginia or Texas or wherever. And somebody will say, and I'm usually the guilty party, says, "Well, what does that entail? What kind of things do you do once you get back with family?" "Oh, we go to church. I have to tolerate it from my mom or my dad or my brother and sister-in-law. It's not my church. It's not what I believe." And I will ask the stupid question, "Where do you attend and what do you believe?" "Oh, I don't believe in this Jesus stuff anymore."
Yeah.
So they've left the basic teaching.
Right.
Now that they are an adult, to fly away free, thinking that they can slide in under the wire when the day of reckoning comes.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
they want to
my.
Fall back on when I was a little boy, about four, I was confirmed. Or when I was a girl of 10 or 12, I accepted Christ. Whatever the criteria they lay out there, that's what they want to fall back
yeah.
on.
And
well, if Jesus doesn't have you in full-time custody,
right.
you are not doing what he purposed you to do on this earth.
And we're going to talk more about what does he purpose you to do on this earth. Listen to this song, "Use Me," and let's just see what God says. It's by Bob Carlyle.
It's been a long time come. I've laid around this old town for you. Lord, it's time that I stop running from the very voice that summoned me. I can't hide your calling forever. Start a fire in my soul. Reach one soul through me.
Wow. Great song by Bob Carlisle, Use Me. And that's what we're talking about today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. My special guest, Carol, is with me and we're chatting. Carol, I think I like that song because it just talks about what we want God to do. We're saying, God, use me. And that's the theme of this show today on Freedom Day, July 4th, that we want God to somehow use our lives to make them count for eternity, don't you think?
Well, I think that's the innate longing of the human heart.
Yes.
Once we put away all of the worldly issues and the things that separate us from God are the desire to know God.
Right.
We separate ourselves. He doesn't separate from us. But sometimes it's out of all kinds of guilty pleasures that we indulge in that separate us. And at times we're not ready to give them up. I love the older folks because, and I can speak to that because I am one, but I love the older people who have gone through life. Maybe they're in their 60s, maybe they're in their 70s, 80s, 90s, or even in their 100s. And they are so ready at that point to know the Maker.
Yes, isn't that cool? Yes, yes.
So they know that time is nigh.
Right.
And I purport right now, and I want to be very clear about how I feel about this. I think we're at a crisis time in the United States. And I think it's time on this day of experiencing freedom that we begin to understand that freedom is not going to be with us terribly long as citizens of the United States. I see more and more and more every day that shows me that the revelations is coming to pass, that situations are being placed here in the United States to separate us totally from the Word of God and from the ability to have the freedom to preach it and teach it and live it and hear it.
The threats are there.
And this is very distressing to me.
Yeah, the threats are there.
As a teacher and as a Christian and as a person that I feel God has called to do many things. I'm distressed about it. I'm distressed by the impacts of the destroying of nature and Mother Earth.
Right.
You know, it's Father, Spirit, Mother Earth.
Right.
If we don't take care of where we live, and we are supposed to be stewards of
right.
everything God has given us, everything. And if we are not good stewards, we're going to lose it. If we're not good stewards of freedom and freedom of responsibility and freedom of religion, we are in deep, deep trouble. Our whole Constitution and our nation is based on the freedom of religion.
Exactly.
And now people want to take, you know, in God we trust off money.
Right.
School in Pennsylvania won't let the kids say the Lord's Prayer, won't let them pledge to the flag. Something is happening, and we are sitting passively as a nation of people and letting it take place. When we start removing God and His Word and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ from our very basic fundamental lives, we are in trouble.
That is exactly why we that understand these principles and understand that God is needing people to be harvest hands at this time in this world, that God is saying to us, you know, don't take this for granted. Do something about it. And when you were just saying that, it reminded me, Carol, of Matthew chapter 9, where you and I had a talk. I've got it in my Bible written here. We had a talk on November 29th of 2006, Carol.
Oh, my.
And I have it here in Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places. He reported kingdom news. He healed their diseased bodies. He healed their bruised and hurt lives, which, by the way, all of that is what he's told us to do also.
Yeah.
When he looked out over the crowd, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were. Like sheep with no shepherd. And doesn't it seem that that the world is that way these days?
It is very much that way.
Yeah.
And I think that's the frustrating point to pastors, regardless of their denomination. That's,
right.
That's not an issue with me. Anybody that speaks the word of Christ to people who are hungry for it, I feel is pastoring in any way that they possibly can. Maybe the only way that they know. Maybe that's handing out a cup of hot coffee every morning to a group of people who are standing in a line waiting to find work.
Right.
That and they administer at that time
yes.
to those people.
Exactly.
I think it's vitally important that we continue to do the works of Jesus as he's called each of us to do. He knows each of us individually, and from that point of knowing each of us individually, he knows what we're supposed to do. We don't know. Sometimes we are just as ignorant as homemade sin. So what makes each of us distinctive in the word of Christ and in the giving of the word of Christ and then living our lives that way? We've got to find our distinction.
We've got to find our place.
As I spoke to you earlier, you know, we're all part of an interlocking puzzle.
Yes, we are. We are.
And each piece of the puzzle has its place, has its right, just like each part of the body has its own job to do.
Well, let me read this last sentence here, Carol, and you're going to remember our conversation. When he looked out over the crowd, this is Jesus, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. Yes. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. That's what it says in the Message Bible. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. The next verse is the first verse of Matthew 10, and it says this. The prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Jesus called 12 of his followers and sent them out into the ripe fields. He gave them power to kick out the evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. And then it mentions the 12 disciples. And this is what we're talking about, Carol. Yes, this country is in need of people who will be those kind of harvest hands, because the harvest is out there. It's ready. There are people everywhere who need to hear what Jesus can and wants to do in their lives. Yet there are so few people that are actually vocal about it and talk about what God wants to do. That instead they just, like, you know, they just keep this good news to themselves. And God says, no, you got to give it away, you know?
And sometimes it's done because the keeping it to yourself is done because of a gender bias, a socioeconomic bias,
right?
Educational bias,
right?
Whatever it
All
is
those
that
things,
we want
yeah.
to use as a reason not to reach out to our neighbor. Literally, sometimes our neighbor next to us or across the street, we're so afraid to get involved. It's a litigious society, and we don't want to be involved in things that might cause someone to dislike us.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
When I leave this earth, I wrote my tombstone when I was probably 8 or 9 years old.
Really?
I really did. At that tender young age, I had such a feeling for people that were disenfranchised, as I call them, from life.
Right.
And whatever it caused it, maybe it was the local town drunk, you know, but I kept seeing, I see through people like that, and I get past the grungy, dirty clothes and the unshaven beard or whatever it is, and I see deeper than that. And
right.
as a small child, I cared, and still do to this day, so deeply for animals and could feel a kinship with them that even my own brother couldn't feel,
right.
Or anybody in my family. So for that reason, I thought one day, I sat down and I sketched out my tombstone, and it has two words on it. She cared.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And
that's cool.
I thought if people could hear my name, even
right.
as a small child, I thought if people could hear my name, do you know Carol Witcher? And someone would say, oh, yeah. And the next phrase, I hope, would be, she cared.
Yes.
She cared about people. She cared about the earth. She cared about the fishes in the sea. She cared about every
Amen.
Single living thing. And
Woo.
Was always trying to make her place in the world a better place. That's our responsibility. If that means that we have to go on the street and preach the word of God, if we have to go to the Indian village and preach it, if we have to go back to Guatemala and preach it,
right.
if we have to go to downtown Mobile and preach it, wherever
God sends us,
wherever
everywhere
he sends us.
Us.
And you know, he says, take nothing with you. You're not going to need it. You know, and he was talking about having the disciples wash their clothes and keep
right.
their physical self
yeah.
clean.
Right.
You know, so that they would not show dishonor or whatever. And he said, the only thing you really need to take care of, since you have washed and your body is clean, you have to take care of your feet, because they're going to be dusty from the
right.
trails.
Right. Exactly.
You walk.
Yeah.
Look
yeah.
at every disciple even today, the people that are disciples of Christ, wherever they may be in the world, they are walking the dusty trails.
Right.
The unmarked road.
Exactly.
If you will.
Well, in Matthew 10, after he sends out the harvest hands, he gives them this charge. Now I'm in verse 5. Don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers. That doesn't mean you're not going to go to some far-off place to convert unbelievers, but I love the way Jesus says this. Don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers. Because, Carol, I grew up as a missionary's kid and a pastor's kid, and I remember so often thinking, God, are you going to send me to Africa? Are you going to send me to some distant land? And I love that Jesus says, don't begin by worrying about that. He says, don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Around here, we call it the hood, right?
That's right.
Go to your people in your hood.
It's so amazing that the church for so long, due to the fact that the automobile ran through the other building that the church, Beacon of Hope, was housed.
Yes, right.
But you had to move into the quickest, most logical space to carry on the mission of the church, and you went into the hotel.
Right.
There you were able to minister to everything. What an unlikely place to go minister,
I know,
for heaven's sakes.
But we met some great people there and ministered.
Some great people, and you were able to progress and move on.
Right.
And I'm sure that deep in their hearts there's a void.
Yes.
And now God has blessed Beacon of Hope with its own physical building.
Right.
And things are coming together in such a way that that part of the hood,
right,
in that area will be changed.
We're actually still down the street from where we were, so it's kind of cool how that happened. But
that's right.
But you're right, Carol. It is, we have to just, you know, I've got a shirt, one of those Life is Good shirts that I love because I kayak. And there's a kayak and the little Life is Good guy on the kayak sitting there. And my shirt says, go with the flow. You know?
That's right.
And so often we try to swim against the current. You know, we try to say, okay, God, I can't serve you because I cannot go to Africa. Or
right.
I cannot serve,
I
have no money.
I don't know scripture.
Right. Exactly. I don't know scripture. I don't know. I don't have any money. I can't this. I can't that. We are so often stymied and stopped by tremendous blessings out of our own selves saying, but I can't.
Hear the word but in a sentence, you know the next part of that sentence coming after the word but is going to be a negative phrase.
Exactly. All right, Carol, stay with me. We have got to go to station identification, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the ministry. And then I got a couple passages I want to teach here, and we got more. Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Arkansas, Mississippi, welcome today, and all those in the Tampa Bay area. And if you're listening to us on the internet, welcome wherever you are. The station owner here says there's quite a few listeners over in the Ireland area. I don't know anybody personally over there, but we are glad, no matter where you are, that you're listening to Living the Good Life today. We are Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are in our ninth year as a ministry here in Clearwater, Florida. That is our home base, but we are everywhere. We are other places. Interestingly enough, in the last few years, we've had a lot of people that have moved away from the Tampa Bay area and now are located in Alabama, Texas, Georgia, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, on and on and on. So we have people scattered around that are vital partners of this ministry. You too can be a partner. We would love for you to become more involved with the ministry at Beacon of Hope. You may go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Find out all about us. Maxine is our webmaster up there in Georgia, and that's pretty cool. Even though she doesn't live right here in Clearwater, she is our webmaster and does a tremendous job. Recently, we've revamped the entire website. It is cool. It is brand new, up to date. All the information about the ministry is there, all about our radio shows. And we have past radio shows, some from the last couple years back, but especially every show that we have done this year in 2010. Carol, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Would you tell our listening audience why it is a good thing that all those shows are on, and the fact, you know, how they can access them and how quickly they can access them, say, this show after today? When can they listen to it again if they want to?
As soon as it leaves the station master's hand and goes into your hand and you put it on the internet, it is, or send it to Maxine, it goes on the internet for beaconofhopeministries.com right away.
Within
within probably 12, maybe not even 12 hours sometimes. Sometimes it's quite a bit less than that.
Right.
beaconofhopeministries.com is the website that the webmaster Maxine maintains for the church,
right,
and for the ministry in its totality. And when you go on that website, beaconofhopeministries.com, you will see a listing of the events taking place. And there will be a little button, and for those of us that are computer halfway literate like myself, or totally literate like Maxine, the webmaster, if you push that little button thing, or touch it with your mouse, it will send you to the radio shows. It says radio shows. You touch it, it goes there. It has a list of the shows that have been, or the programs, as I prefer to call them, that have been put on the website. It is, and for people who are shut-ins, or people who are in situations, maybe they're at work and it's a place that they're kind of by themselves, maybe they're the light keeper, and they can at least turn something on and hear it, it would be a perfect opportunity. Having been a shut-in myself due to an orthopedic injury and not able to get physically to church, I relished in having an opportunity to be able to hear the Word of God spoken in truth and honesty. So I highly and heartily recommend it. And sometimes there may be a program like today that somebody wants to review and say, I need to hear that part again.
Right.
They
yeah.
can go and listen to that part, your part, my part, the songs, whatever it might be, and keep them in a tighter hand with God, you know, giving God complete control over you.
Exactly. You know, I think it's the power of technology now, Carol, just never ceases to amaze me, because when I first had my first radio show, it was in Indiana when I pastored the church Cornerstone Ministry up there from 1983 to 91, 80, yeah, to, yeah, late 91, 7 years. And for five of those years, I had a radio show every Sunday morning on two different stations, one in Muncie, Indiana, one in Anderson, Indiana. But what I had to do, Carol, was go to the radio station on Thursday to one of the stations. And I actually did my own engineering, Bill. You won't believe this, but I did my own engineering clear back then. I did, yes. And it was back with the reel-to-reel tape recorders, you
uh-huh.
know, and I would set it up with the reel-to-reel and get ready. And I had a 30-minute show, and I only had time. I had an intro, and I had one song during the show, and then I taught during the show a little bit. 30 minutes is all. I recorded it, took it, and took that reel, and then not only did we use it there on that show, but then I would have to, you know, they would duplicate it, and we would take it over to the other station on Sunday morning from on 9 o'clock on one station, then 9:30 on the other. But it was just look, Bill, you're able to give us this show within just a few minutes after the show.
Yes, and I'll be able to do it quicker because I figured out how to do it. Can't you rebroadcast this show on that Indiana station?
Do you know? I don't know. I haven't even checked into that. I suppose that's a possibility. You know, this year we do want to look into all the possibilities of getting syndication and getting this show out more, because I tell you what, it's exciting to do this show. We love it, and we'll pick your brain about that, Bill. But Carol, look at the advances now that we have, the ability to get the word out that we didn't have, say, even when I was a missionary's kid in Central America, you know, clear back in the 60s. You know, the only way we could communicate with my grandparents was to get a letter that went on a boat from the United States to Guatemala, and it took several weeks to get to us. Can you believe that?
I can. I had a cousin that was overseas in the Navy in the Seabees stationed on Guam, And it would have been so nice to have interchanged things with him.
Right.
At the moment they were happening and things, but it didn't. And I was in high school. He was 3 or 4 years older than me. And I was in high school, and I took it upon myself to be his letter writer.
Oh, wow.
And by the time the letters would get to him, it was almost history, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It wasn't pertinent news. Even news within the family, it wasn't pertinent.
Wow.
Because it was such a long time to get it over to Guam. And, in this day and age and time, I think God is opening up more and more avenues for his word to get to people and for his chosen people to step out and preach and teach and be all they can be. And he's given each of us a responsibility. And we can shirk it. We can shrug it off, or we can go ahead and do it. And, before I retired, I had my 5-year plan all worked out. And it didn't include stepping out and doing the work until for God until my 5 years, which my last 5 years were finished.
Right.
He had other plans.
Right.
And he had tried so hard through the years to rattle my cage and make me realize what I should be doing for him. And I think teaching was one of the things that public school teaching that he did want me to do.
Right, sure.
And I consequently followed that. But by the same token, I knew eventually that there was no way I could continue to say no. He laid me down, said the only way I could do was to look up and feel his eyes staring at my soul and going, well, you ready to listen to me now?
Exactly.
I have work for you to do.
Carol, I think that is profound, and I think that those listening to the show today, there are people that know they need to be doing more for God, and they have not caught that vision. And in this next hour, we want to help them catch that vision, and we're glad that you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's a global outreach ministry. So now we want to play a song, but before we do, I want to introduce this song because it was not one that I was going to use today. And as I was driving to church and just driving to the radio station, I kept going back to this song on the CD in my car, and it is a song that a lot of people don't know. It's called More Than Enough for Me, and it talks about all the names of Jehovah. And you say, wait a minute, I thought we were talking about God using you. If you're going to be used of God, you got to know who it is you're serving. You got to know the power in the essence of God Almighty, that he's your healer, that he comes to bring you peace, all of the things. And so listen to this song. It is mighty, More Than Enough for Me.
Jehovah Rapha,
Praise God. Bill, get that ready again. We're going to cue it up and do it again in just a minute, but I've got two scriptures to read first. One of them is Mark chapter 10. When God called me to leave Indiana in 1991 and give up my successful church and come to Tampa by faith, which is what happened, long story, Matthew chapter 10, these two or three verses were key for me. Jesus said, mark my words, no one who sacrifices house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, land, whatever, because of me and the message will lose out. They'll get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land, but also in troubles. And then the bonus, eternal life. This is once again the great reversal. Many who are first will end up last, and the last first. Go with me to the book of Isaiah for a moment, and then we're going to hear that song again. And I'm going to tell you why we're going to hear that again, because that stirred within me one more time why I have caught the vision and why I preach the word and teach the word. It's because of who he is. Why? Because of who he is. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's the one who absolutely is there with me, Jehovah Shammah. He'll never leave me or forsake me. He's the one who is there in the night season when I don't feel good or I don't feel emotionally good. He is always there, Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. He's the one who has always paid the bills. He's the one who has always supplied my need. And that's what gives us the impetus to be used of God. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to play that song and then get Carol back in here. Isaiah 6 verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. This is Isaiah talking. I saw the master. He had a vision. Okay, we got to get a vision, folks, of where we're going. I saw the master sitting on a throne, high and exalted. By the way, this is not what I was going to teach on. So this is for somebody out there. Grab it and take it and listen to it. Isaiah 6:1. And the train of his robes filled the temple. Whose robes? That's the master. Angel seraphs hovered above him, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, their feet. With two, they flew. They called back and forth to one another. Here's what they said. Boy, we sang a lot of worship songs this morning at Beacon of Hope around this theme. Holy, holy, holy is God of the angel armies. His bright glory fills the whole earth. The foundations trembled at the sound of the angel voices, and then the whole house filled with smoke. And then I said, doom. It's doomsday. I'm as good as dead. Every word I've ever spoken is tainted. Some of you out there may be feeling like God can't use me. I've got a bad habit of swearing, or I just say a bunch of negative stuff, or I've got stinking thinking. And Isaiah was sitting here saying, you know, God, you can't use me because I've really hurt your cause with the words of my mouth. And Isaiah said, the people I live with talk the same way, using words that corrupt and desecrate. And here I've looked God in the face. Now, he's the king, the God of the angel armies. Then one of the angels flew to me, and he held a live coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with the coal, and he said, now listen, everybody, listen carefully to what the angel said. Look, this coal has touched your lips. Gone your guilt. Your sins wiped out. Then I heard the voice of the master. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? I spoke up. I'll go. Send me. You are my healer. Praise God. He's more than enough for you. I don't know who this is for right now, but I do know this. God changed what I was going to do right there for somebody, maybe many somebodies out there who need to understand that God has a plan for your life, that He is intentionally speaking to your heart, that He wants you to grab the message, the vision, that He wants you to see that He wants to use you. You may be full of excuses, and I'm sure that a lot of them make a lot of sense to you. But when God gets down on the inside of you to the point that you understand He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, He's your healer, Jehovah Rapha, He is there with you all the time, Jehovah Shammah, He is the God who will never leave you or forsake you, Jehovah Shammah. He is your righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. When you understand all of the essence of who He is, then you begin to get it. He will give you the anointing, the power, the ability to open the doors. He will open doors for you to speak. He will open doors for you to smile. He will open doors for you to love the unlovely. And that's what it's all about, my friend. Grab it, because God wants to use you. Woo! Carol, are you there, my friend?
I am here, and I felt the same electricity Woo! That you felt. I know that this was a message that was switched midstream.
Yes.
And I, you know, when I hear the songs of the names of God, I'm humbled. I sit and cry, had tears running down
Me
my
too.
Face, because I'm overwhelmed by the love that this God has given to me,
yes.
and given to people I know, but it's overwhelming. I mean, I am humbled. Who am I? Who am I, really, God, that You are mindful of me? And we can each say that, each person who has been held back or who didn't feel the strength to do it or didn't feel like they had the education, anything to do something for Jesus.
And Carol,
know this moment right now.
Exactly.
That
and
you have been called by Him for a mercy mission.
A mercy mission.
You know, whether it's to reach out to your neighbor, a sick individual that you know,
yes.
someone you don't know, a sojourner who's lost. This God that we serve is powerful and mighty.
He'll open
and
the doors.
He knows each of us from
yes.
the inside out.
Carol, I really felt that on that first time we did that song, He's More Than Enough, when we did it the first time, it was just like, I mean, I was just caught up in his presence, realizing we have got to get this out, that he is all of that for everybody. And it's a matter of receiving it and accepting it. You know, if you give a gift, I was just up there in your home a few weeks ago when I drove to Indiana and I stayed all night and received such wonderful hospitality from you and Maxine, and you guys cooked such wonderful meals. And we had that great meal that I love for you to cook for me, that chicken, what is all that?
It's the chicken, broccoli, and carrots all in a wok over a bed of rice.
There you go, that. And you know what? When you said, I think I'll cook that, I was like, yes. And I received that gratefully. You filled my plate with it, you know? And yes. I ate it, but I had to receive it in order to enjoy it, right?
That's true.
Exactly.
And we feel in our home that it is our mission, it is part of our purpose for God to allow us to be hospitable.
Exactly.
To make a place for his shepherds.
Yes.
To make a place for his children, lost or found. It's not for us to decide. In our home, we try to make it a very hospitable, warm environment where the Word of God is lived and taught and preached.
Amen.
We laugh a lot. We have a good time with whomever is here. But the message is always the same. This is the house that God brought us to here in Georgia. And this is the house where we serve the risen Christ. And this is the house of safe comfort for those who need to pass by or through and who are fearful or who are searching or whatever their reason might be. And just to give them a place of safe haven.
Exactly.
Knowing that the wings of angels protect this home and guard us.
Well, and that's a ministry. I mean, I had my little grandson Levi with me and I love him so much. I miss him already, Carol. I'm sure. 3 weeks, and I put him on the plane today, and it's just it was a great time. You know?
Yes, it was. And it was a time of bonding for you guys. And, you know, we know his mother, and we've never had the privilege of meeting Levi. And to see him come in to our home, and such a smart young man, and such a delightful young man, and just inquisitive beyond belief, and so full of 10-year-old philosophy.
it was quite interesting.
And to see the interaction between you and him, and to know that he interacted so well with us, and we could tell him wonderful stories of his mother that we knew a long time, and just have the opportunity to make him feel welcome and not a stranger in a stranger's land, you know.
And that's
a
ministry.
I had a friend, a pastor, who wrote his life story coming to Christ as a Baptist preacher who happened to be a gay man.
Right.
And he had been married and had a daughter. And as he came to know, and he was a preacher, but as he came to come into the fullness of himself, being revealed to him that he was a gay man who could still preach and teach the Word of God from the pulpit and live it in his own lives, he wrote his own book, and he called it A Sojourner in a Foreign Land.
Right.
And that's what we all are. We're sojourners in a foreign land. The Word is the light that guides us, that keeps us going.
Right.
But we are all in a foreign land when it comes to how we go, where we go, what we do, to take our life experiences and our desire to say something and do something and be a servant to God. We're all strangers in a foreign land. He opens up that gate and says, this is the land you are to enter.
That's right.
This is your mission. This is what you do. When you left Indiana, you were a sojourner in a foreign land.
Exactly. And I thought I was coming to Tampa to build a new church right away, and it didn't happen that way. I was doing missionary work and got into real estate, and long story. But, you know, one of the things that God calls us to do is to love those put in our path. And it was interesting that Levi wanted to spend this time with me this summer, and it was so good. You know, there we were on the golf course the other day, you know, hitting balls and just having a good time, playing baseball, going to baseball games, sitting around every night and watching the Rays. And I mean, just fun stuff. That is a ministry. So often, Carol, I think that people get it in their head that ministry is simply standing in a pulpit preaching, and they think, okay, well, I know God's not called me to do that, so there's nothing that he needs me for. He needs you to be the grandparent that you need to be, the parent that you need to be, the uncle, the aunt. And by the way, Carol, he calls you and Maxine his wannabe aunts, you know?
he is such a little clown. But look,
he is,
you know,
a clown.
Your relationship with him through this opportunity that
right.
he had to be with you for a few weeks this summer, it was like a fresh new relationship with
Jesus
Christ.
Oh, it was.
Christ.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Someone
yeah.
doesn't know how to be with him necessarily, but all of a sudden, you know, God opens doors and Jesus opens windows, and all of a sudden you're thrown into the same situation, and you walk that path of loving God, knowing God, feeling God through the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, just like your grandson was able to know you without any other person around, no more grandchildren to share Nana Florida with, just simply to be with you one-on-one. And that's what we all seek deep in our souls, whether we realize it
Absolutely.
At the moment or not. We seek that kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. That we can come to him and we can laugh with him and we can tell him funny things and secrets and we can shed our fears and tell him what makes us fearful and we can share our joys. You know, when we look at the words and the ways that Jesus is called by so many names, I mean, faithful witness, redeemer, light of the world, the holy
exactly.
one, the counselor, the way, the messenger, the true light, the son of the blessed, the advocate, the Lamb of God, the peacemaker, Yahweh, wonderful bread of life, physician. I mean, and that
exactly.
song just brought all of that
Doesn't
out
it?
Again, that he is all of that
Woo.
To all of us. We need him at every stage in our life.
Amen. Listen.
If we don't know what to call him, we can just simply call him Master or
Amen.
Christ, or the times that we need the living water of Jesus Christ to cleanse us.
Amen.
And those are the things that take place in our lives when we are free to laugh and accept him as Levi accepted his time with you and you
Amen.
With him.
It was
you
great.
You got to know him in a whole different light.
Oh, yeah. So much fun. Oh. Send me out. Listen to this song. Wow. I just wanted to play a little bit of that song, Carol. Send me out. I want to be your hands, your feet, your voice. Carry me to the brokenhearted. Isn't that what we're saying on this show today, Carol?
Well, it should be what we're saying. We're trying to get the message across that there is peace within
yes.
our souls and our hearts when we know the peace of Jesus Christ. And it does pass all understanding.
And we're supposed to be communicating that. We're supposed to be giving that away, you know? That's why I like that song. I didn't want to continue it because I really want a little more time to talk about this. Because I feel like there's a lot of our listeners who feel that they are not adequate. They are not able to be the hands, the feet, the voice. They're not able to be the comfort for somebody or to just give an encouraging word. And I think the devil Nicole has done a sell job, a snow job, if you will, on so many people that they think they aren't adequate, that God can't use them. I want you to comment on that, Carol.
I think it starts in the home, that we begin to tell small children and infants that they have no value in a lot of ways. And then as it goes and grows and they get into the neighborhoods and the larger areas of family life and then
right.
school life, judgment is placed upon them for what they seemingly can and cannot do,
right.
judging by other people's standards. And we don't teach them to listen to that small, quiet voice inside that is the Holy Spirit speaking to
exactly.
them, telling them how wonderful they really are and what the plan of life for them is.
Yes.
We shut it down.
We shut it down, and we do that a lot of times with busyness, and we do that with putting people down. You know, there's a thing that I've known in counseling. You and I have counseled a lot in the past. When you find somebody who's constantly putting other people down, it's because they feel insecure and bad about themselves. And, you know, a lot of people do that. They feel bad about themselves, so they feel like they can't begin to help somebody else because they themselves are so in need of help, you know? And yet God says, I accept you right where you are. And I believe a lot of people don't get that, Carol. I believe that they think that you have to be to a certain spiritual level to be used of God, that you have to have a certain maturity in the Word, or you know, you've memorized 112 scriptures or whatever that may be. And God says, I just want you to be my hands and feet. And it's all about loving people right where they are. It's all about a life of love. That's what it's about.
It is. In 2 Timothy 3,
yes.
10, starting in, I'm going to start around 14. Actually, I'll start around 12. Everyone who wants to live as God desires in Jesus Christ will be hurt.
Yeah.
That people who are evil and cheat others will go from bad to worse. They will fool others, but they will also be fooling themselves. But you shall continue following the teachings you have learned. You know they are true because you trust those who taught you.
Right.
And since you were a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. And that wisdom leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-given and useful for teaching, for showing people what is wrong in their lives, for correcting faults, and for teaching how to live rightly. Using the Scriptures, the person who serves God will be capable, having
Amen.
All that is needed to do every good work. And that's verse 17 in 2 Timothy 3.
Yeah, I love that. Well, it's just saying it's all about the Word, that it's the Word that does the work. And we get so hung up on our own abilities. Maybe I remember Moses. You remember back in the book of Exodus, and God said, Moses, you're my chosen one to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, me, I stammer. I stutter. You can't use me, God, because I'm a stammerer, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, so often, Carol, we point out our own limitations and we say, I can't because, I can't because, I can't because. Right? I mean, seriously, don't we do that? We don't move out and do what God's called us to do often because we feel we're not adequate in some way. And I come against that spirit of inadequacy and unworthiness that is in so many people, maybe people that listen to the show today or some at some later date. God does not want you to be smothered by feelings of inadequacy, unworthiness, insecurity, inferiority. God wants you to know that all of your needs are found in Him. He's more than enough. The song we played twice a little while ago, more than enough for me. No matter what it is that you need, He is all of that and more.
And, you know, I think one of the difficult things for people to come to that rationale and understanding is that it doesn't cost us monetarily anything.
Yeah, that's right. We kind of live in that kind of a world, don't we?
You know, in our world, if you want something, you have to pay for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And usually the price is quite exorbitant.
Well, the price here is surrender. When it comes to letting God really use you, it is surrender. It is God. It is saying, God, I know you have a plan for me. Now I surrender to your plan, even though I may not see it all unfold in front of me. You know, Carol, as a young kid, I just wanted to be a medical doctor so bad. That's all I wanted. And I geared my whole life in that direction. My education, pre-med at Ball State University, graduated from that, and did not get into medical school. Because that year in 1970, there were only two women out of 220 that got into medical school. Those were the days of gender bias that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, and for a while, it really was upsetting to think that I had worked all this time to accomplish a goal that I was kept from because I had already been married for 2 years at that point and truthfully told the admissions people that I wanted children, four or five kids. And as a result of that, I was told that I would not be a good candidate for medical school because I had was going to have all these children and be a stay-at-home mom type thing for a while. And as a result of that, God took my life in a different direction, but actually the direction that he had planned all along. But it took me a long time to figure out that this was his plan because I had my plan. Are you following all that?
I had my plan. I had my five-year plan.
Right.
And it did not, at that point, it included Jesus and serving him, but it was going to be after my five-year plan.
Exactly.
And, you know, sometimes
yes.
I'm sure that God and Jesus just slap their knees and have the best time hee-hawing about what we as human beings are calling
That's
our ownership
true.
Of our own lives.
I know. Don't you think God does that? He goes, yeah, uh-huh, you want to do that, and that's your plan? Okay, great. That's fine.
Yeah.
Let's see
and
how that works out for you.
He can change everything around us in less than the blink of an eye.
Absolutely. And so often we are afraid to trust God and step out in the ministry opportunities that God wants to give us because we think God cannot, say, change us. I know, Carol, that when God called me to preach the first time I was 4, the next time I was 16. Okay. And when I was 16, I said to God, because of course I had not been turned down for medical school at that point, I said to God at 16, you know, I'll be the best doctor for you I can be. And you know what? I'll even be a medical missionary if that would be what you want me to be. But I'm going to be a doctor, God. I'm not going to preach the word. That's what I said to him at age 16. And that was my own ignorance. And that was my own wanting to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And yet, as it turned out, God did exactly what he wanted to do in my life because I finally wised up and realized his plan was the best plan.
But you see, you are a doctor. You're a doctor of the brokenhearted and the broken spirit.
There you go. There you go.
You know, you don't necessarily deal with broken bones.
No.
And messed up intestines. But you do deal with brokenhearted people, lives that have been shattered, not just broken, but shattered
exactly.
like a cheap mirror.
Exactly.
You through his grace directed toward you and through his wisdom that you have sought and that he has given to you, you are able to bring back to life the wounded, the broken, the disheartened, and the shattered lives. If that's not a physician, I don't know what it would be.
You know, that's very interesting you bring that up because that is true. But my idea, and I guess some of our listeners' idea, may be that God can't use them because they've got this other path that they need to follow like I did. And I'm admitting that over the air right now. That was my plan, but it wasn't God's plan. God got a hold of me many years later in Isaiah 61. And interestingly enough, this is the first sermon Jesus preached in Nazareth. And it may apply to some of those listening out there today. Isaiah 61, a first couple verses. The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me because God anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the heartbroken, announce freedom to all captives, pardon all prisoners. God sent me to announce the year of his grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and to comfort all who mourn, to care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion, giving them bouquets of roses instead of ashes, messages of joy instead of news of doom, a praising heart instead of a languid spirit, to rename them oaks of righteousness, planted by God to to display his glory. That's about the first five or six verses of Isaiah 61. It is for somebody out there as it was for me so long ago. Carol, I'm going to play a song that has been on my heart all week, and then you and I are going to wrap up with some conversation. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Each new day, he'll make a way. We've been talking about God using you, and the fact that he wants to do that is what this show is all about. Some of you may have been hampered by all kinds of situations and maybe just old junk in your life that needs to be taken care of. And God says it's time to get serious about me and do what I've called you to do. In fact, right now, I feel a word of God coming on me for those of you listening. I don't know who this is for, but listen, this is from God. And here's what he's saying. That for too long, you've done your own thing. For too long, you have postponed the calling that I have on your life. For too long, you've said, I don't have time. I'll get to it later. For too long, you have waited and waited and waited, thinking that there will be a better time, a more opportune moment. I, the Lord your God, would say to you right now, this is the hour. This is the moment where I want to use you mightily, where I want to change your life. I want to turn it inside out. I want you to become the person I've called you to be, the person I've created you to be. I want to use you, saith your God. I have a purpose for you that you have never, ever seen. Seek me with all your heart, and you'll find that purpose, saith your God. Seek me, and I will make a way where there seems to be no way. That is my word to you, my child. Whoa, praise God. That Amen. Is a word of prophecy. And I Amen. Don't know who all it's for, Carol, but it's for some people out there.
Yes, indeed it is. And I just pray on this Independence Day for the United States of America as we celebrate with hot dogs and hamburgers over the grill and a fresh piece of cold watermelon and laughter among friends and family. That somewhere today, the soul that is lonely and the soul that is hurting and the person that just can't seem to find their way and think no one cares, I'm here to tell you, along with Pastor Marcia, that somebody does care.
Amen.
Beacon of Hope Ministries cares about you.
Yes.
And Beacon of Hope Ministries wants to hear from you. You can contact Beacon of Hope through email to our pastor at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Amen.
You can contact us through prayers at beaconofhopeministry.com.
Amen.
And that we will be there for you. We will say the prayers. We will give you the guidance and the direction that you need to find your way through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that you have the independence that you need to break loose from the holds of the sins of the world and Satan.
Amen.
And
Amen.
This station and this is we're wonderfully committed to this station and they to us, and it's an opportunity to share with the world the loving knowledge of Jesus Christ and the wisdom that we have attained at Beacon of Hope Ministries.
Amen.
Through our outreach and all of our prayer ministries and every way that we serve God. It's important that you as individuals know that you're important to us.
Amen. Yeah. And we want... Did we lose her, Bill?
No.
Okay. We want to hear from people. I'm glad you brought that up, Carol. We want people to become partners with the ministry. And you can go to our website and even become a partner if you want to do a commercial on the air here with us. That we've got all the information on our website. But I think the most important thing here, Carol, is that, yes, we need financial contributions to keep this radio ministry going and growing. And you can go to our website and figure out, go to PayPal and give a donation towards the new sanctuary we're building right now. But the most important thing is we want God to be built up in your life. We want you to catch the vision that God has for you, that he has a plan for you, and that he has a purpose for you, and he wants you to figure that out. And you figure it out by spending time in his word, getting instruction in the word, like Bible study at Beacon of Hope here on Wednesday nights at 7 is a great interactive time to learn the word. Sunday mornings at 11, all of those things. But God wants to hear from you, right, Carol? I mean, he's waiting to hear from you.
Yes, and I feel very strongly about this right now. I'm having a very emotional feeling that there's someone sitting alone. I don't know where they are, but they're sitting alone, and they're very lost, and they don't think there's any hope for them to ever serve the risen Christ. I will say to that individual now, let those tears flow freely. Let your heart commune with God.
Amen.
There to hear you. The Holy Spirit and Jesus will intercede for you.
Amen.
You're an important part of this world to him. You have a place to serve and a place to do and work that Jesus wants you to do.
Exactly.
So please follow your heart right now and allow yourself to be open enough to hear the word as it was spoken to you and for you today. through this ministry at Beacon of Hope.
I agree, Carol. And I also just am feeling there might be somebody out there right now who is not sure of their salvation, that if they died tonight, would they be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, or would they be lost? And, you know, we do this a lot on this show, but we don't do it every week. But right now I'm feeling like we need to do it. Carol, I'm going to ask you to repeat these words as I pray them. And those of you out there that are not absolutely positive that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he died for you on a cross, not only for your sins, but for your sicknesses. If you're not sure that you're saved, repeat this prayer with Carol as she prays it after me, because we want you to be able to nail down that decision right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I ask you to forgive me for anything and everything.
I ask you to forgive me for anything and everything.
That I have ever said or done.
That I have ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That is not pleasing to you.
I repent of my sinful ways.
I repent of my sinful ways.
And I ask you to forgive me now in the name of Jesus.
And I ask you to forgive me now in the name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he died on a cross for my sins and sicknesses.
That he died on the cross for my sins and my sicknesses.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord.
That he came out of the tomb alive.
He came out of the tomb alive.
And now lives forever in heaven with the Father.
And he now lives in heaven with his Father.
And so I ask you now, Lord, to come into my heart.
I ask you now, Lord, to come into my heart.
And become my personal Savior.
To become my personal Savior.
The healer of my body.
Healer of my body.
My deliverer.
My deliverer.
My peace, my joy, my strength.
My peace, my joy, my strength.
I am your child and you are my Father.
I am your child and you are my Father.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
And I agree with you, Carol, that we want to hear from our listeners. If they prayed that prayer, if you prayed that prayer out there, and send me a personal email. It'll come directly to my computer, pastor@BeaconOfHopeMinistries, it's got an IES on the end of it, .com. pastor@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. Any prayer needs. Carol, what can they do if they have a prayer request? And we just get so many. And this was a week of a lot of needs across the body of Christ. We had a lot of needs, including my own sister. And God healed marvelously this week, Carol. What do they do if they have a prayer need this week?
If you have a prayer need, you can contact through the computer Beacon of Hope Ministries, MINISTRIES, BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com, prayers@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com.
And if they want to be on the prayer team, can they join the prayer team? Because it is huge, this group that's around the globe now. How can they be a part of the prayer team?
They can be part of the prayer team by simply writing prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries and declaring that they would like to be a part of the ministry that prays for people. And sometimes we feel that we can't do anything. If we can open our mouths and utter prayers or just put someone's name off our lips onto God's ear, that is a prayer. And if you want to be a part of that, and it's truly a way to serve, then go to prayers@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com, and that information will be sent to you. We will recognize you with a confirming notice that you have been placed as one of our prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S.
Exactly.
And we're the ones who lift up the people who need help.
Exactly. And we welcome that. We want you to join us. If you're not in the Tampa Bay area, then you can be a part of this ministry and yet go to your local church. Nobody's trying to take you away from your church by any means.
Enhance your life.
Exactly. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area and don't have a regular place to worship, we invite you to our new location, 3700 Almerton Road, Suite 206. We're right on the end. And it's in a brand new shopping plaza. it on Almerton Road, a great location. We are building out. We've already got the entryway done, the office done, the kitchen, and we are coming right along with a big dedication ceremony on August 1st with Canaan Band, going to be our special guests, and a lot of going on that day. So August 1, mark it on your calendar if you're in the Tampa Bay area. Again, we just invite you to Bible study Wednesday night, interactive Bible study. Bring your Bible, notebook. We set up tables. We really have great conversation and teaching and interactive learning. It's a great time. Bible study starts at 7, prayer meeting at 6:15. Sunday morning worship is at 11, and then the radio show at 4 o'clock on this station every Sunday live. We've got a radio team of 8 people plus me. And I am excited of all the people that have been a part of this ministry and the radio team since we started. Carol, this has been great having you on the air today. One final thought. You got about 45 seconds.
Well, the final thought is that on this Independence Day, let's turn this day into a dependence on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To his Father.
Woo, that's good stuff. Dependence on him on Independence Day. I like that, Carol. I like that. And, Carol, we just agree in prayer right now that all those that have listened or will listen to this show in the future will get what God is trying to say. He wants to use them in a mighty way. It is not too late, no matter how old you are or how young you are. God wants to use you for his kingdom and his glory. Carol, thank you so much for your time with us today. What a joy.
It has been a pleasure.
All right. God bless you. Talk to you later. So to each of you, it's not far to Jesus. That's always our theme song at the end. It's not far to Jesus. And you have been listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries International Global Ministry. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, the senior pastor of the Clearwater Church. And we just are so glad you've joined our radio ministry today. Tell a friend, a family member. And that's a great way to introduce them to the ministry of Beacon of Hope. Tell them to go to our website. You can find our old shows there. It's not far to Jesus. God bless you on this Independence Day. God loves you. It's not far to Jesus. See you next week.
Not far.